This morning, I want to talk to you about the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. The Lord's been having me go through the four Gospels and just really picking out certain things about Jesus' heart, Jesus' character, just in my own personal devotions, and really meditating and praying upon it, and just really looking at His heart. And I've been looking at His compassion. And the Lord's really been ministering to my heart, and I know in order for the Lord to use us as an individual or as a church, there needs to be an element of compassion in His people, the compassion of Christ. And that's what I want to look at this morning in its simplicity, just some truths the Lord's been putting in my heart. Go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1. The book of Mark. Chapter 1. We're going to read two verses, and that's verses 40 and 41. Verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. When we read many of the stories in the four Gospels, we see very clearly that Jesus' entire ministry was birthed out of love and compassion for people. That His ministry wasn't out of a sense of religious obligation or a religious duty. It was out of a genuine love and a concern and a care that He had about people. In other words, what I'm saying is Jesus' ministry came from His heart. He genuinely loved people and He had a desire to help people, help them in their time of need. And when you study the Gospels, you see that Jesus was a compassionate man. The word compassionate, according to Webster, simply means having a heart that is tender and easily moved by the sufferings and needs of others. Having a heart that is tender and easily moved by the suffering and needs of others. In other words, Jesus was tender-hearted. And when He saw people that were in a place of suffering, or He saw people that were in a place of gross need, His heart was stirred. His heart was moved with compassion. When Jesus saw a people in a place of suffering, His heart was genuinely stirred by love and a sorrow and a desire to help. You know, studying the word compassion in the Greek language, I found something very interesting. Anytime in the New Testament when the word compassion is used, it's two Greek words put together. And the Greek words are simply this, love and sorrow. Love and sorrow. So in other words, compassion is something that you feel in the heart. It's something that stirs in the heart. It's when you see somebody who's in a place of suffering or in a place of need, truly there's a love in the heart and there's a sorrow that stirs in the heart because you have a heart for people. And it produces something in your heart that just wants to reach out and help people. That's what compassion is. Now let me just go on to say this, that as a Christian, especially for someone who's in a ministry where you're continually reaching out to people, does that mean you're going to feel the feeling of compassion all the time? No, you're not going to feel the feeling of compassion all the time. But, beloved, there are just sometimes we have to put on compassion because it's just the right thing to do. Because we love the Lord and because we love people, there's a desire in the heart to help people that are in need, and so sometimes it's something you have to put on. But I do want to say this, I don't want to take away from the definition. There will be times in your walk as a compassionate person when you see someone who's in need or you see someone who's in a place of suffering that your heart will be stirred. Like Jesus, the heart will be moved. There will be a sense of love. There will be a sense of sorrow that stirs in the heart with the desire to help people that are in need. Beloved, compassionate people feel compassion. Now understand, the compassion of Christ goes deeper than seeing the physical need. It's able to see into the heart. It goes deeper than seeing the physical need. It sees into the heart. Now, if you'll bear with me, because I've shared this a few times before, but it really brings out my point here very well. Very well. In the story we just read, a leper comes to Jesus, and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And he says, Jesus, if you will, you can make me whole. And the Bible says Jesus' heart was suddenly stirred with compassion. And he reached out and he touched this man and he said, I will, be thou whole. And beloved, the reason why Jesus reached out in compassion and touched this man is because he saw a disease eating this man's heart worse than the disease that was eating his flesh. You see, no one knew rejection like a leper. A leper was rejected over and over and over again. So I know in my heart, it was very important to Jesus to touch this man. It was important to him. See, Jesus understood something. He understood that his word would heal his flesh, but his touch of compassion would go deeper. His touch of compassion would actually reach into the man's heart and begin a healing work in his heart. He knew the miracle that a touch of compassion could do in the heart. And beloved, the lesson that we learn from this is simply this. Listen, compassion sees past the physical need. It's able to see into a person's heart. You know, some time ago when the Lord really began to place it upon my wife and my heart to adopt the child, when we were in the process of adoption, the thing that was going on in my heart was simply this, and the Lord put it there. Every child needs a home. Every child needs a father. Every child needs a mother. Every child needs a family. And that's what the Lord put into our heart, because we were just a couple He was wanting to use to do this. But somewhere after the process of adoption, when he was actually adopted and he was in our family, somewhere after that, God began to take me deeper than that. God began to show me his heart and show me what was going on in his heart. One time the Lord gave me a dream about our son. And in this dream, I walked up to a pool on the deep end and I saw our son at the bottom of the pool drowning. So I dove into the water, and as I was swimming down to him, the look on his face was absolute terror, absolute fear. I mean, it's still ingrained in my mind like I saw it this morning. Fear. And when he saw me swimming down to him, he lifted his arms to me like this, saying, and you could read it, please help me. And I went down and I embraced my son and I pulled him up out of the water. And as I was, you know, just holding him, we were out of the water. I woke up from the dream and God spoke to my heart. And he said, Tim, no matter how bad your son acts out, I want you to remember something. He's just a little boy full of fear, reaching out for help. Don't ever forget that. He's just a little boy, full of fear, reaching out for help. Beloved, God has been showing me something deeper. God is beginning to show me his heart, and that's what true compassion is. It goes past seeing just the physical need. It has the ability to see into the heart. That's compassion. Now, looking at the ministry of Christ, I believe compassion is a call to a miracle. So often we see in the Gospels when Jesus' heart was stirred with compassion, he performed a miracle. And whenever the Lord has a church, he really wants me to speak on a church level today. Whenever the Lord has a church that's reaching out to people out of compassion, not out of a religious duty, not out of some kind of religious obligation to the Lord, but out of a true compassion in the heart, a true love for people, a true desire to help people. Whenever the Lord has a church like that, that church will see God do miracles. You may be a little church with just a little money, But the Lord will multiply that, and He will feed the hungry, and He will clothe the poor. Listen, when He has when there is a people, a congregation of people that really have a heart to reach out for people out of compassion, listen, they have an open heaven with God. They have an open heaven of His presence. They have an open heaven of provision. They have an open heaven of prayer with God. Listen to what He says in His Word. Isaiah 58, He says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh." And then He says, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and the Lord shall say, Here I am." Beloved, God promises the ministry of compassion and open heaven. He promises the ministry of compassion. He promises that our prayers will bring His presence, and our prayers will bring His provision. The ministry of compassion. And while we're on Isaiah 58, the compassion of Christ puts away the pointing finger. Isaiah 58:9 says, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt thou cry, and He shall say, Here I am, if thou take away the putting forth of the finger." Beloved, this simply means compassion. When it sees somebody who's homeless, it doesn't point a finger and say, "The reason why you're homeless is because you're lazy and won't work. The reason why you're homeless is because you just want to freeload off people." No, true compassion doesn't even go there. True compassion does not make off-colored judgments. It's the compassion of Christ. I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. We're going to read verses 30 through 34. Verse 30 says, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that came, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise Levites, when he was at this place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him into an inn and took care of him." So, beloved, right here we see the ministry of compassion. But what I want us to notice is the story that follows immediately after the parable Jesus just told about the ministry of compassion. Look with me at verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Beloved, I don't think it's a coincidence that the story of the Good Samaritan is sitting right on top of the story of Mary sitting at his feet. I don't think it's a coincidence that this story precedes the story of the Good Samaritan. I think what the Lord is simply teaching us is this. Listen, the ministry of compassion is birthed at my feet. The true ministry of compassion is birthed sitting at my feet. It's when you sit in my presence, it's when you're in my presence, it's when you're sitting at my feet, that you'll begin to hear my heart, that you'll begin to sense my heart, and that you'll begin to take on my heart. It's sitting at my feet. That's where the ministry of compassion is birthed. But this is why we have to understand, if the ministry of compassion is birthed there, then it has to be maintained there. You see, listen, Jesus was clothed in human flesh and walked among us. He knew discouragement, He knew disappointment, He knew opposition, He knew the battles of the mind, He knew all these things. So listen, where did He maintain a heart of compassion? I believe with all my heart, it was in His prayer life with His Father. I believe it was sitting in His Father's presence, having the time of prayer with His Father, hearing His Father's heart, sensing His Father's heart, understanding His Father's love and heart for people. I believe it was His prayer life with His Father that kept His ministry of compassion ignited, aflame. Beloved, listen, if anything ever takes us away from His feet, takes away that devotional life from His feet, ministering to His heart, if anything ever takes that away, as a church, if we ever become too busy to be at His feet, the compassion part of our ministry will die. It will die. It will die because our love has grown cold toward the Lord, and so our love has grown cold toward people, and then ministry is just really out of an obligation or a duty or a burden. It's no longer coming out of the heart. If it's birthed at His feet, it has to be maintained at His feet. Amen. Beloved, today so much of Jesus' ministry to each one of us is motivated by compassion. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Jesus is touched by our struggles. Jesus is touched by our weaknesses. Jesus is touched by our grief. He is moved with compassion when His people are going through suffering and sorrow. And because of His compassion, we can come boldly to His throne and find the tenderness of His hand, the strength of His hand, and the willingness of His hand to help us. It's because of compassion. And why is Jesus so easily touched by infirmities? Why is His heart moved with compassion? And why can He give us comfort and strength? Why? Because He's a man of many sorrows. He has lived firsthand the grief that His people walk through. Beloved, I believe with all my heart, a true comforter has an anointing to comfort. There's an anointing upon their life to comfort. Listen, being a comforter, it's not just about giving hugs and speaking soft words when people are hurting. No, it's deeper than that. There is an anointing upon their life. There's an anointing upon their life. And I believe with all my heart, comforters aren't born, they're forged in the fires of suffering. Comforters aren't born. They're forged in the fire of suffering. Beloved, when I look at people in the Bible who truly had an anointing upon their life to comfort, that their words were able to penetrate into the heart, go into the heart, and really bring the comfort of God. When I look at people like Joseph, and people like Naomi, and people like Paul, you can see it's very evident. It's because of the things that they had to go through that they truly found God to be the Father of all mercy and comfort. And it's because of the things that they had to go through that there was a tenderness and a compassion that came into their own heart, and the touch of God came upon their life to comfort other people. I believe comforters aren't born. They're forged by the hand of the Lord. Tenderness of His hand. Now, compassion takes a strength because it's often rejected. I'm telling you, when you're really walking in the ministry of compassion, it really takes an inner strength of heart because oftentimes it's rejected. And I know this is a poor example, but I'm going to give it anyway. When I was ministering in New York to the homeless for my internship, I had more than one homeless person throw my sandwich back in my face. Because they didn't want my sandwich, they wanted my money. But compassion doesn't going to say, I will love you if you're grateful. No, compassion is stronger than that. Compassion is stronger than rejection. Does rejection hurt? Sure it does. But it can't kill compassion. You know, I was reading a book by Mother Teresa. And she was talking about all the rejection she faces in her ministry by the very people she came to pour her life out to. Tremendous rejection. And she said something that was really powerful. She said this, "I've learned something about the love of Christ. Love stays." That's when you know it's love. When it stays. And I've learned how to find my strength and my compassion by being at the feet of our Lord. That was her words. Love stays. Love endures. That's compassion. And let me take it a little deeper than that. Compassion understands that hurting people hurts people. Compassion understands that. You know, I heard a wonderful testimony from a man, wonderful man in the Lord. And he talked about how his father, when he was a little boy growing up, his father was so abusive, very abusive, made his home life, made his mom's home life a living hell. He was very abusive. And he grew up hating his dad. But when he was saved, there came a point in his walk with the Lord that the Lord began to speak to him about forgiveness. And he would try, and he would try, and he would try. And he finally went before the Lord and says, no matter how hard I try, I cannot forgive this man. Lord, for your sake, I want to, but I can't forgive this man. And suddenly he had a vision, a real vision. All the elements changed, and he was standing in a picture. And he says, I was standing in a room, and I saw a little boy sitting on the bed, and I could tell he had just got through crying. And I could look at the little boy, and I could tell he was very abused, very emotionally abused, verbally abused, very, very sad picture. And I thought I was looking at myself. The Lord is showing me a picture when I was a little boy. But he said, but when I begin to look harder at the little boy, I begin to see that's not me. That's someone else. And the Lord spoke to his heart. And the Lord says, that is your dad when he was a little boy. Now, I'm not excusing what he's done. I'm not excusing it at all. But if you want to know why he grew up so full of anger, so full of hate, and so cruel, this is the reason why. And the man said he felt something in his heart he never felt for an entire lifetime towards his father. He said, I felt compassion. For the first time in my life, I felt compassion. And then he said something that really gripped my heart. This is what he said. He said, it's hard to hate someone when you truly begin to understand them. It's hard to hate someone when you truly begin to understand them. And today the Lord has absolutely set him free. And he has no forgiveness. He has forgiveness in his heart, no bitterness in his heart. And it's just like a picture, just like a movie, just like a book. Father on the deathbed, and he was able by the Lord to go see his father. Before his father died, said, Father, I love you. And I forgive you. And he led his father to the Lord. Beloved, the kind of compassion I'm describing this morning goes a lot further than human strength. This is the compassion of Christ. It's unconditional compassion. But this is the compassion God desires from his people and wants to work in his people. So I want to end it with this thought. Here's what I want to end it with. What is the opposite of compassion? Let me tell you what it is. It's a selfish heart. The opposite of compassion is selfishness. You know, recently the Lord has been showing me just how selfish a man I am and how it really does rob compassion from my life. I do want to say this. I do have compassion. The Lord has supernaturally over the years worked a compassion in my heart, and I do have compassion for people. But I know in my heart there's so much more he wants me to have. But not just me, all of his people. I believe all of his people he wants to enlarge our hearts. I believe all of his people he wants to expand genuine compassion in our life. And the Lord has given me a promise, and it's a promise to all his people. And it's simply this: I will give you a heart of flesh. That I will truly give you a heart to love people, to care about people. I will truly give you a heart that can genuinely be touched by the feelings of people's infirmities, like my son Jesus. I want to work that into your heart. Beloved, again, the compassion I'm talking about, when you really begin to understand his compassion, it goes a lot further than being a good humanitarian. A lot further than that. Goes a lot further than human compassion. Takes the love of God, the strength of God. but that's something he desires for his people. Stand with me this morning.